All right. Hello and welcome back to Matchroom Radio from here in the mean streets of Brentwood, Essex, England. And yesterday we had a great episode. We had Adrian Granados, who was going to be in our main event, but that fight is now off the charts for this Saturday because unfortunately Conor Bedd did come down with COVID. But we do have a really exciting couple of guests today. We've got Sandy Ryan and her brother Dave. So it's a family affair today. It's a fighting family. And Sandy's going to be turning over on Saturday. And we're really excited to have you on the card. And we're excited to have you here. And welcome, Sandy and Dave.
Hey.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's great to see both of you. Big week. Obviously, you guys are both from Derby, brother and sister. Dave, you're retired. Sandy, you're about to turn pro on Saturday. This is a big moment. First of all, how you feeling? How you feeling?
I'm excited. I've said that throughout my camp and getting here. I'm excited. No nerves yet, but they'll be on the day as normal.
Do you usually get nerves before a fight?
On the day of a fight, you know, when you're in the changing rooms, but I think that's normal with every fighter. Every fight, you get nervous. But right now, I'm just excited and ready to go.
I think if you didn't have nerves, it'd be strange, right? I mean, you're about to get into a fist fight.
Everybody gets nerves.
Yeah.
Especially during the fight.
There's odd fighters that say they don't get nerves, but
yeah,
they're full of shit.
Once Clifton bandages the hands up, that's when it gets real and that's when the nerves kick in.
Yeah. So you got nervous too, Dave?
Yeah, for sure.
I think
I'm going to be more nervous for this fight with Sandy than I was for any of mine.
I can see he's nervous now.
Yeah. I'm saying. Now, you guys, by the way, you guys have sparred quite a lot, I've heard.
Yep.
And
many rounds.
And many rounds. And Sandy, from what I understand, you crack. And, you know, I'm told you spar a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And if they don't defend themselves, they're going to get tapped up.
Yeah, I like sparring the boys. It's you've got to be more switched on, and it brings the best out of me. I believe that you got to have the hard spars and to progress.
Do you find that the guys go full force on you, or do they take it a little bit easy?
Oh, yeah. My last few spars at this camp, this guy in the gym, we told him, you need to put it on me. You need to try and knock me out. I told him that to his face. And then after the spar, Clifton told me that he told him that.
Basically, a lot of the sparring partners are not going easy on her. The blokes, the men, they're all trying to give her as much as they can. So there's no easy spars. As I say, there's no easy fights. There's no easy spars either.
Iron sharpens iron, steel sharpens steel.
Yeah, because you don't want to be having easy spars and then you get in to fight night and you've got a hard fight. You got to go in the deep waters in training, I believe.
Yesterday, Adrian and I, when we were talking in the podcast, we were talking about, we got talking about baseball. We're Americans. And you see guys with the bat, and they put the weights on the bat right before they step up. So it's heavier. So when they get in the cage, you know, when they get up at the plate, the bat's nice and light.
Exactly.
So like, you got to go hard.
Yeah.
Go hard until you're in there.
Yeah, sometimes I train, like, with weighted vest tops on and stuff like that. You got to push your body to the limits. And then when Saturday night, it's going to be playtime for me. Like, all the work's done. Like, and I just put it all in, put it together and put on a performance. So
that's what they say, train hard, fight easy, right?
Yeah, that's what I believe as well.
The harder you train and the more you put in at the gym, you want to make it as real as possible so it's easier for fight night.
Yeah.
So you want to really destroy yourself in the gym, and then come fight night, it should be a little bit easier than what it would be if you just took the piss in the gym and then went in there for fight, and then it'd be harder than what you think, you know what I mean?
Well, you've been in some absolute wars, Dave, so I don't know. Maybe your training wasn't so good because you had some hard fights, man. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I do want to continue with Sandy just for a little bit here. First of all, you guys, brother and sister, what's the age difference here? Because
10 years.
10 years. Because you're retired. And you're about to turn pro. Yeah. Kind of amazing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of amazing. How was it for you when Dave used to fight? Were you nervous also?
I was more nervous when I fight. And a few years back, I asked Dave, when I fight, do you get as nervous as when you get nervous for your fight? And He's like, I get more nervous watching you.
But you don't get that nervous watching him.
Yeah.
Well, it's different because it's like when she's fighting, I can't control what she's doing. So I'm more nervous for that fight. Whereas sure. on my fights, I'm not as nervous because obviously I'm controlling what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But like it's my little sister as well at the same time. And I can't control enough. So of course, I'm going to be more nervous for that fight.
Were you always a protective big brother?
I still am now. Always will be.
Was Dave always a control freak?
I still am now. Always still will be. That's
right. The only thing is now I'm old enough to tell him to mind his business.
Right, right. That's funny. Well, on the GB team, you were pretty bossy yourself, you said.
Yeah, like being on the GB team for so long, like it's made me grow up into a woman. And from because I started when I was young there, and I was there for many years. So I grew up a lot on the GB. I was away from home a lot. And yeah, it's built me into who I am now.
How has that been? It's hard for some people. I'm away from home a lot. You know, I do a lot of travel, and there are pros and cons, you know, yeah. but how did you find it?
I didn't mind it, to be honest. I'm quite an independent person myself. So the adjustment when I turned pro, the first few weeks was weird. No, I didn't feel like I was training for a fight because I was at home.
Sure.
And normally for the past 9 years, I've been away. So I was like, oh, shit. Am I going to get used to this? I kept saying to Clifton, should we go away on a training camp? Should we go away on a training camp? He was like, it's not that easy with COVID right now. And I was like, all right. So as the weeks went on, and then I just adjusted, and I'm enjoying it, training at home.
She's talking about Clifton Mitchell for the fans out there, who is has been your trainer and also owner of One Nation Gym, right? Where yeah. where you've trained for yeah. many, many years. You yeah. started at what age? Around
about 14.
About 14.
So yeah, I walked in the gym and training with Cliff since I was 14. And just another special thing for Saturday night. I've said it in a few interviews that he's going to be in my corner. Like, it's weird because obviously all these years, I've been on GB, so he's never done my corner. So for me, and I started with him from day one, so it's going to be the first time he's going to be in my corner. And that's going to be special in itself as well.
I mean, how exciting is that? And if people out there in radio land, TV land, if you don't know Clifton Mitchell, I mean, what a guy. We've had him on the show before. We had two incredible Derby personalities, him and Sam Jones. But yeah, I mean, what a guy. And like you said, you've trained with him for a long time. And I think, I just want to say, I think that it's been tough for Clifton, because as great as he feels Team GB is and those coaches are, it's hard when you have different coaches telling you different things. And now it's one voice, yeah. right? One Nation, one voice.
Yeah.
And it's Clifton's. How has that been for you to have, you know, like you'll learn something from Clifton and then you might go with different coaches and you're hearing different things. And, you know, it's not that one is necessarily better than the other or this or that. Sometimes people have different ways that they want to, you know, skin the cat,
yeah.
you know, proverbially. So has there been a push and a pull? Has that been hard for you? Do you feel like it's going to be easier now?
Yeah, it's going to be easier now. And because he knows me, and he knows like my moods and everything. So he'll know in the ring, like when I need to step it up a gear, when I need to chill. So that's what's going to be good, because this thing, the connection that we've got, when he can say some things and no one will know what he's on about, but I'll know what he's on about. And I think that's just from, we just gel very well. And
there's a synergy.
Yeah. And he'll tell me straight, he'll tell me how it is. And he'll tell me if I need to bite down on my gum shield and I need to go.
Clifton will tell you how it is.
He's
not one for holding back.
Yeah. So, but I need that. And so now it's going to be good to have him in my corner.
Dave, what's your relationship with Clifton? Did you train with him too?
I've trained with Clifton all of my boxing career. I've known him since I turned amateur I started at the Merlin Boxing Club when I was 7, and I've known him since then. So it's a good 30 plus years now I've known him.
For a minute. You got into boxing because your Uncle Lee used to box?
Yep, yeah, correct.
And you just looked up to him, or it just looked interesting? What?
Yeah, I mean, he was going down. I said, oh, I'd fancy going down with you. And then he took me down to the gym. I was training with him for a good 2 or 3 weeks. Then Lee, he must have been 17, 18 at the time. I think he had enough, and I was like, oh, I still want to come. Who's going to take me? And then my old man started taking me down to the gym, and the rest is history. Lee finished, and I carried on.
Was Lee your mom or your dad's brother?
My dad's brother.
And what did he do? What was his job? What did he do at the time?
He was just left school at the time. I mean, I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
And I used to look up to him as an older brother.
Of course.
Yeah, so whatever he was doing, I wanted to do as well. And he was going down the boxing gym, so I wanted to follow him.
Yeah, of course.
And I did. After 2 weeks, he'd had enough. He went off, did his own thing, gone out drinking with his friends or whatever. Obviously, I wasn't old enough to do that, so I wanted to carry on at the gym.
Well, you could, but it was a bottle of milk. That's what you'd be drinking. Yeah, I had an uncle that I looked up to, too, so I know that. He was a drummer and a motorcyclist, and I became a drummer, and I ride motorcycles. It was a big influence on me, so I understand that. But you really did take to the sport. I think it takes a certain type of person to take to the sport.
Yep.
Like you guys have siblings, but you do have a younger brother, right?
Yep.
That's from the same parents.
Yep.
But he's not a fighter.
Not a fighter at all. He's been to the gym a couple of times.
Complete opposite.
Punched the bag, and he's been off work for a week with wrist ache and what have you.
Yeah, wasn't bothered by it.
I think you got to have it in you, haven't you?
I think you got to have it in you.
And you're not normal as a fighter.
It's definitely not for everybody.
No.
You're just cut from a different cloth.
100%. Mm. Yeah. And, I mean, I've seen you spar. I've seen some of your fights, but I've never seen, like, a huge war. Yeah. But you, I have. And you're cut not from cloth. You're cut from leather. You're a tough SOB. Oh, you really are.
You've seen the fights. You should have seen some of the spars that I've had as well.
I believe it.
The spars were better than the fights, weren't they?
Some of them, yeah.
I believe it. Gym wars. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Many of them.
Have a lot of respect for you and what you've done. You know, Sandy, I do want to ask you, I know this is a little bit tough, and I know, but people want to know, especially right now with Tokyo going on, because I know that you really did have Olympic aspirations. And I know that you, I mean, first of all, I want to give a huge shout out just to Eddie Hearn for really having lifted up women's boxing and taking it to another level.
Yeah, definitely.
Lately, you know, with so many top women's fighters right now, it's really becoming a big thing. And I think, I mean, you tell us, did you wait to turn pro because it just wasn't really, you know, and you really wanted to go to the Olympics, so you're waiting for that, and it just kind of wasn't, but now women's boxing's really kind of come to the forefront, so it's a good time to do it.
Yeah, so these Olympics, I always said in my head that they were going to be my last ones, and then I was going to turn pro whether I went or not. And well, obviously there was 2 qualifying events, and I was hoping to be selected for the 2nd qualifiers, and I was training towards them. But COVID cancelled that whole qualifier. So they only had 1 qualifying event, and so it was out of everyone's hands, and some boxers didn't get to compete to even try and qualify. So, and I was one of them. And so the decision was made then to turn over. And
did you also have a shoulder injury?
Yeah. I've had a shoulder surgery. It's fully healed now. Better than ever.
Wonderful.
But yeah, I had that for about 2 years. On the last 2 years of my amateur career, I had that. I was fighting with it. I was sparring with it. It was...
You've won big accolades.
With one arm. So it's fully healed now. It's going to be my first fight back with 2 arms. And yeah, I can't wait to let it go.
So you guys are both from Derby. Very proud. Pride Park.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like the dream? To one day, I mean, look, you're just turning over. And you know, to hear Clifton, it's like you're the next coming of Muhammad Ali. You know, he really believes in you. He's not talking about a world title. He's talking about unifying.
Yeah,
he's talking about, you know, multi-division.
He said to me, world title is not good enough.
Yeah.
He said, until we've unified, that's when we're happy.
Exactly. So, you know, obviously, let's walk before we can run, right? Because he's a big American football fan. He loves American football, and that's a big thing. You'll see that a lot. The players, they'll go to catch the ball, but before they catch it, they start running because, you know, they want to get yards after the catch, YAC. Yep. So they will take off before they even get the ball. Mm-hmm. So let's catch the ball first.
Yeah, definitely.
Then we'll try to run down the field with it. Obviously, I'm speaking metaphorically here, people, but, you know, what would something like that mean to you if one day that was able to happen?
Definitely, that would be a goal to win a world title at Pride Park in Derby. That's definitely a goal, and hopefully I can make it happen.
Well, for any professional fighter to be able to fight in the home stadium, the home football ground, in front of all the fans, 30,000, 40,000 people, and win a world title is just the dream for any fighter. It's got to be, right?
It's got to be. Mm. Well, if you're loved. You're loved by your local fans.
Yeah. Definitely. Derby supported me a lot. And since I won the Commonwealth Games, and my fan base in Derby started to build quite good. And, yeah, like, love and much love and appreciation to all of them supporting me.
Well, Zach Parker, he's the super middleweight. Doesn't he fight out of Derby?
He's a Derby boy.
Is there anyone else coming out of Derby that we should know about?
A few boys in the gym, aren't they?
There's a few boys in Clifton's gym, yeah.
Myron Moe's English. He's holding the English title, isn't he? Yeah.
So there's some talent coming out of there.
Some talent in the gym, yeah.
Got to bring it out, man. Got to bring it out. That's it's huge. And speaking of a team behind you, you can't do things by yourself. In the gym, in the ring, it's you. But outside the ring, you have to have a team. And we've talked about your brother. We've talked about, obviously, One Nation, Clifton Mitchell, Team GB. But also STN. Paul Reddy is a guy we know very well. And we're huge fans of. I'm a huge fan of Paul. And it's his promotion company, Second to None. Tell me about that. Tell me about that link up and how that happened.
Paul got in contact with me, and it was at a time where another management was company was in contact with me as well. So, but
a bidding war.
It really
There's
was.
Paul over there on the wall.
It really was. But from talks for weeks with Paul, I just knew like this guy can guide my career, I don't know. I just had a trust and. From the get-go with him. And
Had you known Paul from before? Dave, did you know Paul?
No, I only met him when Sandy introduced me to him a couple of months back. But the relationship that Sandy and Paul have got at the minute, it's not business, it's friendship. They are good friends now. You can see that, which is good, and which Sandy needs people like that around it.
Because I don't want a big team. Like, I don't need 10 people walking me to the ring. I don't need that.
You don't need the big entourage?
I don't need that. I need my small circle, what I've got right now. Got me, Cliff, Paul, Dave.
Eddie,
Matchroom, DAZN.
Tell me about signing up with Matchroom. What was that decision like? And did you have any part in that?
I had no say in the matter. I can guide Sandy as much as I can, but if she don't like what I say, she ain't going to listen to me one little bit.
She's got a strong head, sure.
I'm very, very, very independent, but yeah. We had obviously a few offers, and I made the final decision with Matchroom. And if from the start I wanted to be Matchroom fighter.
Why?
Just because of seeing what Eddie's done, and throughout the years of me being amateur, he's followed me on social media, and he always said good words about me. And then as he's grown the women's scene, the women's fighters, I'm like, yeah, he can guide me to the top. I believe that, and I feel like it's the best platform.
Who are some of the women fighters that you've looked up to?
There's a lot out there. Obviously Kate Taylor. You got Clarissa Shields in America, ain't you? And there's a few, and even the girls on GB, like you'll see. Obviously, they're at the Olympics now, but you see the big talent and other countries as well. Obviously, I've fought other countries, and the talent that of in other countries, it's gonna show, and I think a lot of females are gonna turn over, and there's gonna be a lot of elite fighters are gonna be turning over.
I really hope so, because I think that the more talent we have in these divisions, the better fights we're gonna get, and the more eyes we're gonna get to the sport.
Exactly.
And cream rises to the top. Mm-hmm. And one at the top is Savannah Marshall, and yep. You're pretty close with her,
I'm
yeah?
Yeah, I'm Sav, yeah. We've done some sparring throughout this camp.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good spar. And obviously she's season pro now, isn't she? So
she's bigger than you too, yeah?
Yeah, much bigger than me. But, yeah, I'm used to sparring bigger girls, and I've done that throughout my career, and I can handle myself, so I was comfortable.
Can I ask, have you ever had do you have a job, like a regular job, or this is it?
Boxing is my life.
So, okay, Canelo, but no, I'm just kidding.
No boxing, no life.
That's it. But have you ever had like a job?
When I was 16 up to 18, 19, I worked in a pub.
What did you do?
I was a waitress, and then I'd pulling pints. And then
she poured the awfulest pint ever.
No.
Oh man, fighting words. All right, break it up, you two. No sparring here.
But no, when I got on GB and I was full time, then
yeah,
that was it. I'd just been a full time athlete.
Now, Dave, when you retired the first time,
yep,
you were driving a lorry, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have jobs before that? What have you done in the past?
Yeah, it's mainly for me, it's been construction work and all groundworks and driveways and like stuff like this. This is what I've done. But yeah, like the first time I did retire, I thought I'd had enough of it. And then I started driving HGVs, and that lasted for about 4 months. And I was so bored of that. It was just not me.
Wasn't you?
Not at all. I was just need to do something else. And then got back in touch with Clifton. Said, right, get me a fight. I need to fight again. And then was back on the scene.
Can you, first of all, let's talk about can we talk for a second about Dave's retirement the first time? Did you have any part in that, saying like, Dave, I think you should call it quits, or like more, you know, like I asked him kind of, did he have any words in having you turn over when you did? Did you have any
say? I didn't really have any words, because any advice I tried to give him, he didn't even listen anyway. It was like when he was making weight and stuff like that. And then after weigh-ins, he'd be drinking fizzy pop and eating shit food. I'm like, so what are you doing here?
Yeah, and I'm trying to give her advice.
And he's trying to give me advice.
Not to do what I did. She says, how can you say that? Because you was doing it wrong. I says, yeah, so you can learn from my mistakes. So
exactly. But I tried giving him advice and he didn't take it.
But sometimes, you know, it's funny, because I have a lot of people that try to give me advice sometimes. And I like to hear everything. You know, it's great. But at the end of the day, we all have to make our own decisions,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's it. Sometimes it helps to hear someone's opinion. It doesn't mean you're going to take it. But people do feel a certain type of way. If they give you their opinion, you don't take it.
And a lot of the times, not many people are going to take advice from the little sister who's 10 years younger either.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think it depends on the relationship, you know, because to me, it doesn't matter who's giving me the advice. If it's good, if it makes sense. Makes dollars, it makes sense.
Yeah,
it's got to make sense.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. What are you guys' private lives like? I know you're married, you've got kids, you got three kids, you got the twins.
Yep,
they're 10 and 12 now.
The twins are 12 and the youngest is 10. Yeah,
amazing.
All three girls as well, so I'm pretty outnumbered. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You're ruled by women.
Yeah. Sandy thinks she's one of them as well.
Yeah, that's right. What about you, Sandy? Do you have a small circle of friends also, or is it pretty wide?
Oh no, I just got a small circle of friends.
Okay, are they guys? Are they girls? Are they people you've known since grade school?
No, actually, one of my best friends is not even been long since I've been best friends. Probably a year.
Oh great!
But I think that's life, isn't it? Like you grow up, you meet new people, and then they're like. You can become best friends.
Yeah, sure.
Just get that bond.
But yeah, she's got Rochelle, she's a businesswoman. She didn't do sport like me. I try and get her out, but she's got a kid. She's got a baby on a way. But yeah, my circle is very small.
Do you have a mentor at all?
What, sorry?
Do you have a mentor at all? Like someone that you look up to that, like maybe an older man or woman that gives you advice that you look up to that has kind of done things that maybe you want to do or that kind of give you guidance?
Yeah, I've got one or two people like that. And yeah.
I find that very important. I have that in my life.
Very important, yeah.
You know. Yeah. Are your folks still alive?
Yeah. They are, yeah.
I always think of like the future, like what I want to make of it and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
What do you want to make of your future? Besides becoming a multi-division, unified world champion, as Clifton predicts.
So that, yeah, of course. And then...
But what else would you like to do? What other aspirations do you have? Like who... I think what's important here, like boxing's great, and we talk about boxing a lot, but I think the fans want to know who you guys are. Like, who is Sandy? You know, what, like, what music do you like? What do you go do on the weekends? You know, what's, you know, if you go to Mackey's, what do you order? You know, like, who are you?
Yeah, I'm very chilled, but kind of person. Music that I like. I like all sorts of music, but yeah, if you come in the changing rooms on Saturday night, you probably think it's Clifton's playlist.
Clifton's got a pretty wide variety of music he likes.
Yeah. You wait to hear my walkout.
I think we're going to put my music on.
No, we're definitely not going to put Dave's music on. Me and him.
What would it be? What would it be, Dave?
Mine is a bigger variety than Clifton's. I can listen to anything from The Greatest Showman to some DMX or anything.
Okay. So. Rest in peace, DMX.
But your playlist is like. Yeah, it's not my playlist anyway. I'll put it that way.
You like oldies, you like new stuff, you like hip hop, you like grime. What do you like?
Yeah, like hip hop, slow, soul, reggae.
Oh, nice.
Stuff like that.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Do you play any instruments?
I don't play instruments, no.
Do you dance at all?
Tries.
Hey, that's it. You know? Well, fighting's like dancing, right? Say fighting's like dancing. Hold on, I've got a message from my producer here.
Sorry, I don't want to jump in, but I'm aware Sandy is training shortly, so we won't keep you too much longer. So,
all right,
Dave, over to you.
Yeah, sorry, I'm having a good time talking to you guys, but we're gonna
time have to, flies when you're having fun.
It does. But okay, first of all, I got a couple questions, Dave, about your career. I want to talk about really quick the second fight with Darren Hamilton. Can we talk about that for a second?
We can talk about that, but I can't really remember much about it. So.
I mean, the first fight, you won, but you didn't win it in the way that you wanted to. And the second fight, you felt some type of way. I mean, I shouldn't be telling the story. I think you should tell the story.
Yeah,
you felt some type of way, and you basically you came out of your game plan because you fought him like just basically you were pissed.
Yeah, I've had a couple of fights where I've gone in there and I've just not felt myself, not feeling myself, and then it's like the second time of the fight. I can't even remember the fight back. I've never watched it back. I can't even remember it back. So that just goes to show that it just wasn't me in there. It was a completely different person. It's weird. I can't really explain it. It's just strange.
I didn't even want him to take that fight. Yeah. I was like, why are you fighting him again?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I probably didn't need to.
You're talking about John Wayne Hibbert? Or are you talking about the
Hamilton one?
The Hamilton.
There was no reason for him to fight him again.
Right. Well, speaking of, can we talk about John Wayne Hibbert for a second?
Yep.
So, for the fans that don't know, you fought him three times.
Yep.
You beat him the first two. The second fight is like an epic fight. I mean, your moniker is Rocky, and that was really a Rocky fight.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for the fans out there, you got to watch that fight. I mean, you were down twice, and you ended up stopping him, I think, the ninth? Did you stop him in the ninth?
Ninth or tenth, I think, yeah.
Man, what a fight that was. Mm-hmm. And then... But it's really odd that you beat him twice and then you go on to have a rubber match, which is not really a rubber match, but like a trilogy. Why did you take that fight again?
I don't know. It's another thing where we shouldn't have took it. Like a lot of people are saying you didn't need to take it. But at the time, it was the only fight that was out there. So I thought I wanted to stay busy and just let's get the fight. And
You thought the fans would enjoy it.
Yeah, and the fight was going my way quite comfortably until the injury. Which still upsets me to this day.
Yeah, of course. Are you friends with John Wayne now?
I ain't spoke to him since now.
Really?
Nothing at all.
And you have no
interest in speaking to him.
You really don't like him?
No, I don't like him. I just don't want nothing to do with him.
Let me ask you this, because there were some weigh-ins and there was some talking going on at the stare downs.
Yeah.
What was said? What were you guys talking?
I was just telling him he was going to get beat up again.
What
just,
did he say?
Just stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, we'll see on the night sort of thing.
Okay.
Just fight and talk. Just the normal
posturing,
fight and talk. Yeah.
Talking smack. Man. So, yeah, I mean, you fought Sam Eggington, obviously Josh Taylor. That was your last fight.
Yeah.
Only stopped twice, your last two fights.
Yeah.
I think it was like Josh Taylor, six fight. Did you know that he was going to be...
7 for 8, I think, yeah.
Did you know that he was going to be a special fighter when you fought him?
Afterwards. I think I remember putting a tweet out after. I said, this kid is special and he's soon to be a world champion. Mm. You could instantly tell he was going to be a world champion. But once again, I didn't feel as though I was myself in that fight, not taking anything away from him or making any excuses. He beat me fair and square, but he was a special talent. Really good.
Yeah, he absolutely is really, really proud of the Tartan Tornado. Mm. Love what he's done.
Yeah.
And huge accolades and huge shout out to him. But you too, great, really exciting career, really exciting fights to watch. You left it all in there, and a real Rocky.
Yeah.
You lived up to the moniker.
I went by the name.
Yeah. And now you're retired and Sandy's turning pro. What's do you have an official role in her camp, or it's just brother?
Yeah, just brother. I think she looks up to me. And at the same time, I look up to her as well. So I think we're very, very close. And I wouldn't want her to be here without me, sort of thing. And I'm sure it's the same the other way.
Absolutely. I can tell that you guys really, really love each other, even though you fought like dogs.
Even though we used to punch each other's face in.
Yeah. Right. I'll tell you this. The fans have some questions. So let me just end with this real quick. Colette Green asks Sandy, you're one of my role models, but I'd love to know who you looked up to as a kid. Colette, age 13, from Nottingham.
As a kid, I looked up to my brother when he started his pro career. And when I went to the gym with him, and it's nice because he's like close to me, so having someone close to me to look up to. And he taught me a lot of things in boxing from the get-go. How to even start punching the speedball. So that's who I looked up to.
Lenny Bradley asked Dave, you haven't boxed for over 5 years now. Have you considered a return in that period?
Well, I did actually, yeah. Last year, I went back to the gym with Clifton. I was only just doing a little bit of training, but all the lads were sparring. Cliff looked at me and I could tell just by looking at me, he was like, do you want to have a little dance? I said, yeah, I'll have a little move about. I obviously brought my gum shield and my head guard just in case. And I think I did like 10 rounds with the boys. I felt all right. But then the next morning, I couldn't get out of bed. And I was absolutely destroyed for a good week.
Yeah.
My elbows, my wrist, my head, my neck, everything. So then after that, I was like, I'll leave it now. Let Sandy take over.
Mm-hmm. Let Sandy take the reins. All right, Lisa Pauls asks Sandy, you'll be 28 later this year, and given your amateur background, do you want to be fast-tracked?
A lot of people are talking about that, and I would leave it to my managers and I'm a promoter, but I'm sure I will be fast-tracked, and just let's see where the journey goes.
Okay, the final question is for Dave, and it's Rich_Goodens_14. Asks those three fights against John Wayne Hibbert were brutal. Were they enjoyable to be in at the time?
The second one was really enjoyable. I could do that fight every day of the year. That was one to enjoy.
I could watch it every day of the year. Yeah. That was awesome.
I'm not sure on my face and me bruising would be able to take it every day of the year, but yeah. But as of the third fight, I felt really comfortable and I really enjoyed that one up until the injury, and then was it really. So, but yeah, I enjoyed all of my fights, but not even the ones that I've lost. They're all fights that you can enjoy and learn from.
It's a good way to feel about it. you know, and you can look back on the career and see the things that you've done. And this Saturday, obviously, once again, Sandy is turning over Saturday night on DAZN from Matchroom headquarters here in Brentwood, Essex. So everybody tune in. And Sandy and Dave, thank you so much for joining me. And we'll see you guys on Saturday.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.